Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. Here I'm joined by an interesting soul for snacks and sometimes full-blown banquets. We share conversation and confessions, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. Hey lovely ones, we've got an absolutely belting episode for you here. It is the Hoovering Podcast's 5th birthday special, a party! I invited a few of my favourite guests from years past to join me for a massive breakfast rave-up. I was lucky enough to be joined by comedian and burlesque dancer Sakisa, writer and all-round wonder face Molly Naylor, and Bake Off alumni, would-be full-time baker and supper club host Anthony Amodou. We really get into it here, and my God, it's so much fun. And the feast, you guys. It was incredible. Anthony made me a giant, great big fuck off, massive Bake Off style rum cake. It was the size of a house with like all fancy frosting and covered, even better than all of that, covered in pictures of my face. And guys, listen. This episode was recorded back in January. That was such a long time ago. Because initially, well, for 9 months, it was just for my patrons. If you are one of those patrons, hey, thanks you guys. I hope you loved this the first time round. And everyone else, if you don't want to be 9 months late to the party every year, consider joining these cool bastards who get all sorts of early, personalised, ad-free and exclusive shit from me all the time. Go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod. Can I make sure you've all watched my Sky short called Real Friends, which I co-wrote and co-starred in with Rachel Stubbings, where I'm a big imaginary ice cream for the whole thing. It's all about friendship and imagination, and I think it's on Now TV, and it might even just be on the normal internet soon. Thanks. And I also want to add, before you watch it, that it's part animated, massively ambitious, and we were given about 50p to make it. And so I know some of it looks like children have made it, but you don't understand how well we did with the budget we had. Thank you. And regardless of those bits and bobs, I'm going to say this about my own thing. It's very funny, actually. There's a montage scene in it. It's possibly the proudest I've been of anything I've ever made. OK, the only other news I've got to impart is pretty exciting. I am soon to be releasing dates for my 2024 tour. I am doing a new stand-up show called Metal, and it's coming near you. So slather yourselves in post-its about it and keep your eyes on my Instagram for updates, at Jessica Fostercue. I want you, Hoovering listeners, to be the first ones with tickets to that. Right. This one was funny. We recorded it in the studio, and the only warning is that it ends in a full-blown actual fight. You're welcome.
It's Hoovering's 5th birthday special! Later, it will be really embarrassing. I'll beg you to sing. Okay.
it feels more formal, but we should pretend.
Not pretend, it's for real. I'd like, perhaps you could introduce yourselves and say who you are and what you are, if that's okay.
Sakisa, you can go first, even though I've already said your name for you.
Hello, I'm Sakisa. I am stand-up comedian and cabaret at she, her, and I love food.
Yeah!
I am Molly Naylor, and I am a writer and performer. She, her, also love food.
And I am Anthony Omordu from the Great British Bake Off, alumni, and baker and a banker, absolutely obsessed with food.
Anthony, you have created the best birthday cake Hoover has ever had.
I cannot wait for you to try it.
Even just based on looks, it is the fittest birthday cake, not just my podcast, but I have ever had.
Oh, thanks, darling.
You splattered my image all over it. What's not to love? You've handed to the ego of a comedian.
Yeah.
Beautifully there.
Remember, baker's coming after this. Just remember.
Okay. It's our fifth birthday. We're celebrating with a bunch of food from a place called Bread by Bike, which is in Camden. It's a bakery, it's also a calf, and they do like brekkie bits. I knew I'd be able to get like little cakes and stuff, but I they were very lovely and over the DMs and arranged to give us basically like a hot brunch off their breakfast menu. So we've got grilled cheese. It's not like any normal bloody grilled cheese, is it? It's got some spicy chili jam in there.
Sexy.
It's so hot. In both the ways. And then I haven't tried it yet, so I need someone else to give me a review of the karaage chicken on toast.
Oh, it's banging.
Is it?
So
banging good. Is a nice solid review.
I like the
Molly.
Sauce that's on it.
It is dying. I mean, fried chicken.
Yeah,
for breakfast. It's seasoned really well.
I mean, that's my calling, fried chicken for breakfast. I mean, you're just making me wet in all types of ways.
Listen, this is what we're talking about, isn't it?
This is the muckiest episode we've ever done. I'm going to record at breakfast time more often, I reckon, everybody's like...
That's why everyone's the most horniest.
Exactly.
Haven't even got jet lag as an excuse. What we've got here is two jet lagged people and a perv. And Sakisa.
I mean, you brought chicken.
Yeah, well, it's good.
The chicken is one thing, because I'm from Barbados, so we love pork and chicken and fish.
Mm-hmm.
So those three things are like the top of my life.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
If you try and get rid of chicken, I'm like, okay, fine, at least I've got the pork.
Yeah.
And I've got the fish.
Yeah.
If you try and take away fish as well from me, then it's just kind of like, what am I going to eat?
I just get angry.
Do you? Yeah.
I just get really angry.
If you don't have meat?
Yeah, absolutely.
I need
that dripping bacon in the morning just on your face.
In the face.
It's just gorgeous, isn't it?
Gosh.
If I had a bacon perfume, I think that'd be great.
It is really interesting when you think about what people have for breakfast without like the fry up or alternative like the eggs benedict and stuff like that.
Or what the veggie
versions and it's like
it's interesting when you go to India though everything is vegetarian for breakfast and it's really carb heavy but it's all a vegetarian spread, tons of different kinds of vegetables.
When you say carb heavy, do you mean lots of breads and rice and lots of...
So in the south of India you'd have a lot of rice, so rice flour, rice and stuff like that for breakfast, and dosa which is pancakes, it's made from rice flour,
big savoury pancake in a roll, right?
Exactly. It's stunning, isn't it? But if you go up north it's bread, so it's a lot of like chapatis and naans for breakfast with
I love a good dosa.
Oh, gorgeous.
It's a great thing. But when I sometimes have I'm not a carby person, honestly. I prefer to, if I go and get a kebab, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning, I will have it without
agree. At that time, I couldn't give a shit about that poor little old pitter. It's just a vessel. They might as well have used a bit of cardboard.
Yeah.
Who's eating that? Unless it's actually soaked any nice juices up. Why do you want like a tiny sort of like pocket of leather?
Yeah.
All the good shit's inside. Mm. But there are other times when my body screams at me quite specifically for carbs. And there are other times when I'm exercising where if I haven't had enough carbs, as in like quick processing carbs, I just fizzle out. I just sort of phase out. Just sort of walk off and go to sleep.
Shut down.
I don't know what it is. For me, carbs are not like my priority.
Yeah, fair enough.
Carbs are not my priority. But if it's people are like, oh, well, you don't get a kebab and chips or something. Yeah. I'm like, no, just give me the kebab.
Just the innards.
Yeah, give me the kebab and the salad and I'm happy.
Chips at 2 o'clock in the morning.
No chips at 3 o'clock in the morning, no.
There are times when a chip is required.
Yeah, it makes me feel really heavy. Mm. And if I have been drinking, like hardcore partying, as I normally would do, I eat the Edinburgh Fringe, I will just need chicken. Yeah. And then I'm fine. No hangover.
Oh, I love that.
Wow. No hangover. If I have a day where I am like, if I'm normally doing burlesque, I'm normally doing two other shows as well around it or traveling. Yeah. So like, I don't have time to like eat. And if I do, it'll be something really quick, like a salad or like, or have like a, I have brunch on the go, like an egg pot or something from Leon.
I love then, a little Leon pot.
Yeah, a little Leon pot is
game changer that. They really sniffed out something that I feel like a lot of my generation was wanted but weren't saying out loud. They found it out.
An egg pot.
Yeah. Or just like a little pot of stuff without needing the full sit-down knife and fork.
Yeah.
Give me a little pot of savoury goodness. Hot, sweaty protein. A couple of beans, egg, maybe.
Yeah. No carbs.
Bit of chorizo in there.
My life. Yeah. My ideal. No carbs.
This is all alien talk. I mean, I have a sit-down job and I need the carb in the afternoon. Yeah. I need the carb in the night.
I need a carb too.
I need the meat in the morning.
Certainly, this will never be advocating anybody cutting out carbs for any reason. But if you don't feel like a carb, don't eat a carb. I think there are times where I've had to go, well, I can't have that because I have got something to do within the next half hour. And there are only certain foods. This is all great. And this is like bread, this brunch stuff. But and it changes as I get older. Like, it just changes as I change. But at the moment, if I have a pizza, I will be snoozy about an hour later for a few hours, which is absolutely fine most of the time. But if I've got something to do that requires like a switched on brain, even like a bit of like urgent-ish writing, it's not a great idea.
Yeah, when I'm doing burlesque, it's kind of like I need to figure out. I still haven't figured out what makes me bloaty, what makes me doesn't bloaty food wise. But I would generally not. I've got to a point where I don't give a f about how I look.
You can swear on here.
I don't give a fuck how I look on stage anymore because, like, I'm not the typical what people see as burlesque performer. I'm quite thick. I've got a little body weight on me.
She's smoking hot.
So I just kind of got to a point where I just didn't give a damn anymore.
Yeah.
And it's about embracing who you are in your body. But I've realised that I need to figure out what makes me bloated.
Well, you don't want to feel like shit.
Yeah, you don't want to feel like shit on stage.
I'm working on a job at the moment all about gut health. I did not expect to get into this morning. It's meant to be a party. But it's fascinating, the different stuff. There's a really interesting Channel 4 series at the moment just out. The lovely Amy Gledhill does a voiceover for.
Is this the one about the poo?
Yeah.
Someone I went from school is the doctor.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Rabia.
She's amazing. She's burp doctor who does hypnosis as well.
Yeah,
I really like her.
I'm also
friends with the dietitian on there, Sophie Medlin. She's done this podcast. But basically, they're trying to encourage more of us to have a look at our poops, see about our gut health, but also learn things about bloating and stuff like that. And I'm learning loads off of that. And for a job I'm working at the moment. And I think there's lots of surprise things that can make people feel uncomfortable, like onions and garlic. Lots of like stuff that's full of fibre, so we need to have some of it. But things like pears and apples. Isn't it funny? But everybody's gut's completely different. So you'll have a different reaction to a food to whoever you're sat next to, even if they're your twin. Isn't that mad? So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff at the moment going into, like, more personalised looks at how different foods affect you. And again, like, as you get older, that will change. So just as you think, oh, well, now I know what happens if I have a banana or if I have a fifth roast potato, actually, like, I don't know, maybe you'll get your period and have a different reaction. Or certainly if you have menopause, that changes everything. Like, it's mad. We've got so much to learn. I feel like we're on a really steep upwards trajectory in terms of how we're understanding how our gut health affects, like, our well-being in terms of stuff. I'm so sorry, Anthony. But I think especially women don't talk about it. Because it's one of the many things we've got drilled into us that it's like, that's not ladylike. That's not, you know, ladies don't talk about that. So you don't do audible farts. You don't whatever. And I think our generation have kind of evolved out of that a bit. But there's still a bit of, I don't know, it still feels a bit subversive to chat about your body stuff as a woman, doesn't it?
Yeah, to admit that it's happening.
Yeah, at all, let alone to go on and on about it, like I'm trying to learn to.
Yeah.
Okay, right. So, this is a birthday party.
I'm just about to say it. Oh, yeah. The farting piece. I was like, "Wow, mate, I let it loose."
Yeah,
I tell my friends, "Let it loose.
Let it loose. You can't trap that guy in there."
I have a friend of mine who's been dating for a very long time. Right, she's with this guy, and they've never farted between, like, in front of each other. And this one time they farted. This was like an event. Yeah. We spoke about it over drinks.
And wow, I'm
like, it's just who went a first?
Fart. Mm. No, it's the guy farted in front of the girl, and it was just horrendous. Like, yeah, like, oh my god, this happened.
And I'm whoa,
it's just a fart.
Yeah.
I let it go when I have client meetings.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, sorry, that time.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really funny. I mean, it really breaks the tension in every sense. I would be an absolute holder in of farts for 30-something years, madly, until I was in the same-sex relationship when that turned out to be with someone who had a fuck-all inhibitions on that front, enjoyed sitting on a pleather sofa to see if they could come out sounding like claps, like an audience, enjoying the moment. And I was like, well, I need to live. I've got my work cut out. I need to relax, literally, anally, and in terms of my attitude.
Every other way.
Yeah.
Can I tell you guys something?
Yes, please.
And I really want you to, do you all promise that you're going to believe me?
Yeah.
100%.
Thank you.
I didn't burp until I was 27 years old.
Whoa.
I promise you, I did not burp once. And a lot of friends or partners would like try to get me to burp. You know, they'd be like, down this, do this. And it never worked. And then one day at 27, I remember the day I first burped when I was like working on my dissertation, and I was just having a bit of a dog shit one. And there was like some brown ale in the fridge, which I don't really drink. But I was like, it was like 4 o'clock. And I was like, if I have a tiny bit of booze, maybe that's going to spark something. And it was really disgusting old brown ale that was erroneously in the fridge, and I drank it, and then it did something weird to my throat, and then I did a pathetic little burp, and then since then I've been a massive burper. But I don't know how to suppress one, so if I burp now, I can't work out if it's like because I love to do it and I love to hear it, or I literally don't know how to like soften it, but I'm just such a big burper. And I thought everyone was really delighted by that, but some people find it as gross as a fart. I do.
I thought everyone was really delighted.
Yeah. And then I did a Twitter poll, and they weren't. Some people were like,
Not into it. I have never found a burp anywhere near as like, it's not as shame.
It's different, right?
Do you remember that? Oh God, you bring to mind so many different things at once. One, there was an amazing episode of 8 out of 10 Cats, where Mel Giedrich is in the middle of talking and just this burp comes out that basically everybody just stands up. Everyone, it's so loud. Everyone's like, thinks something, because something's exploded. Everyone just sort of stands up in panic. It's so funny. And she's like, they all laugh. Like, it isn't, sometimes they come out of nowhere. What was the other thing I was going to say about burps? So again, on that Channel 4 show, not just about burps, but about gut health, there's a fascinating thing about how we've got two different types of burps, and most burps come from above the diaphragm, but every now and again you can get these supra-something burps that come from beneath your diaphragm, and they could be louder and more powerful and feel more involuntary, but they're also a learned habit that you can unlearn.
Whoa!
Yeah. And
fascinating.
Is this out yet?
Yes, it's all available on For On Demand. Right. No, they're not sponsoring me, they're not paying me. Yeah. I just think it's a fascinating, really necessary time.
Like,
it can be bad in the sense that some of them can be painful or smelly if they come from further down. But also, again, it depends what's going on in your gut health. Mostly, it is good to burp. Like, that's one of your body's ways of getting rid of a bit of extra gas that's made by a food that's fermenting.
Because it's
your body doing its thing.
It's important with, like, babies, isn't it? You have to burp them.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Maybe we should be burping each other more, you know?
Yes.
Come on, Molly. Love it. Come on.
Especially find anybody strong enough to pick me up. But, yeah, I'd love to be flopped over a giant shoulder.
Yeah, imagine that.
And just sort of have my back roughly patted.
Yeah, and do a little sip.
Actually, there's definitely some kid for this.
You know what?
There's definitely someone called Nigel. You're paying for this in Margate right now.
Don't kink shame Nigel.
No, sorry, Nigel. You do you, babe. Absolutely harmless.
It's a burp, I find, if you burp in someone's face accidentally, then you just get the smell, innit?
It's that little smell. It's that little acidy smell.
Especially after kebab.
Yeah, after garlic kebab. Meal. Garlic. Yeah. It's garlic. If you have garlic and meat, that is not a friendly burp, is it? And if you've got a vegetarian partner, they hate that, even if they are constantly farting like claps.
It's like when you wake up in the morning and you're like, oh, I don't want to kiss you because my mouth is, that kind of like morning breath.
Yeah.
Whereas the same with burping. Like, I think that puff of smoke comes out.
I get why people care, but I also, it does my nut when people are like, genuinely grossed out. I had a friend who was on a date with someone. She'd been getting on really well with him. And then she burped. So I think this is just, I've just got so used to her doing it because I've known her for all my adult life. She burps and she did it like into her hand and then like sort of throws it over her shoulder like a lucky bit of salt.
Yeah, love that.
And really love it. Love to see it. Love to hear about it. Gone behind her. And he was like, "Now we're done."
Really?
Oh, he found that so rank. He was done. I was like, I think that's quite ladylike. She threw it behind her. Obviously, you can't actually throw. You can't capture the air just in your palm and actually get it behind you. But come on. Okay, great. So we've digressed a little bit, but I was going to ask. Well, I want to know, because it's a birthday party, I want to know two things. Have you ever had any particularly memorable eating at any other birthday parties? And or what were your own birthday parties like eating-wise as a kid? Right. Anthony, do you want to start?
So I'll go with the second question. Birthday parties back home is phenomenal. It just meant a ton of food and a ton of garlic, unfortunately.
Oh, nice. But it's not something you think of here. Like as a kid's birthday party, big on the garlic.
Yeah, exactly.
Love it.
But you never grew up in India for some reason. Your mum and your family always still made this massive banquet. Mm-hmm. This time I celebrated my birthday, which just passed a couple of weeks back home, and there was so much food. There's a biryani, there was a mutton fry, there was pork, there was everything on the table. And then I made the cake, of course. I wouldn't trust anyone with that. But yeah, that's how birthdays are for me. Like literally gorgeous. A lot of food. And I try doing that even by myself.
Yeah.
I could all and just eat it by myself.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, you guys are gorgeous.
Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, please.
There you go.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, so what about your kiddie birthdays? What did you eat?
I don't really remember. I feel like certain parts of my childhood I've like cut out.
I did not mean to come
through
trauma.
No, it's fine. Don't worry, it's fine. I'm the only child, so like really like celebrate with loads of friends. It was like we bring cakes into school or like little cupcakes, and that was you celebrate at school. I remember having a big birthday party. I remember going to my friend's birthday party in like McDonald's and Wimpy, all of that. But like I've never really been a big birthday person, especially as I got older. But the last like 20 years, I traditionally will get a Marks and Spencer's birthday cake. That's all.
Cap Collin.
No.
Oh. Class in that.
Yeah, the normal one with the raspberry sponge.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, the Marks and Spencer one is the only one I will eat for my birthday.
Oh, so. We've got to change that, darling. We've got to change that.
Yeah,
it's
going to
be our birthday cake from next year. No.
Okay, he's fine. Then, obviously, thank you very much.
Four for June.
Signing up for this.
Okay, we'll have a rematch 4th of June. I don't like the idea of this not celebrating birthdays.
But yeah, but like for the last 5 or 6 years, I always like treat myself. Like my parents would be like, "What do you want for dinner?" And I'd be like, "Get me some lobster." So I normally have like, having like jerk lobster.
Yes.
Okay, I've stopped you. Sorry for you.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not making your cake, darling.
No, make my cake.
Lobster.
Yeah.
So it's lobster on
jerk
cake.
Lobster.
Oh,
yeah, jerk lobster, which is lovely. Lobster is one of my favourite things in the world. Yeah. It's kind of like a nice luxury to have.
I have just tried the mocha French toast. I'm not a pudding person. That is blown my absolute tits off. It is delicious.
I think everyone else needs to have a bite because I'm
You're not
really,
that fussed about that.
It's not. It's Lord, coffee based. I love coffee. Coffee.
It's very faint.
Coffee.
The coffee is very faint as a flavour.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you like to just try that
please.
Bit?
Give or
is
me
it?
A little.
Because I've been. I've held
no,
it.
No, it's fine. We can try.
Have a nibble. I've had two big bites.
Yeah,
I don't. I no one will be rude if you don't like it.
Thank you.
The food wasn't a gift or anything, so we can be honest. And so far, everything has objectively been flipping delicious. It's really good quality chocolate, I think,
actually,
and the cream is really light.
Because I'm
good.
Not really big on chocolate.
Yeah.
Even though my nickname is Twix. I'm not.
I know. How did that come around?
It's a long story. I'm not really a big fan of like chocolate-based, like desserts or chocolate-based. I can do like a chocolate ganache with like some cream in it, something that's melted and stuff like that. But if it's like a hardcore brownie, like it's just full of chocolate, dark chocolate, no.
Oh, my God.
Those kind of things are not really my vibe.
Not much.
And anything like coffee-based as well with it. Coffee-based desserts, I'm kind of like...
Yeah, too much.
Tiramisu?
So you're not. Tiramisu is your nightmare.
Oh, never had it.
No?
Wow.
Not interested.
Yeah, I'm not interested. People are like, it's the best thing ever. I'm like,
I love coffee and chocolate and cream. And if I'm going to choose puddingy flavours, then like that kind of like mocha, nutty stuff. I'd always go that way instead of fruit. But tiramisu has got something grainy in it. It's got like some sort of trifly ass, dusty business in the middle of it that puts me off the whole thing.
Interesting.
Is there like some kind of old lady's finger or something?
Oh, lady's finger!
Yeah, the sponge can be...
Like,
can
I love
be
a trifle
bit...
if you make it with amaretti biscuits or like there's some kind of fucking 80s... Do you know what I'm on about, Anthony? There is some...
I know.
Yeah. It tastes like it should be used for building, not... Or soaking up a mess.
You know what? This is one of the best desserts you can get in Italy. And you're trashing it.
Oh, it's a lady's finger.
Outreach should be with the builders.
I think this is my thing as well. It's like certain things that are like
comedians
iconic.
Talking about food.
Certain things that are iconic and like great flavour-wise, I think has been destroyed for me at some point because you just get the basic version of it and then that just ruins your flavour and taste
true.
Of it.
Imagine if you'd only ever had sushi from Tesco's, lunch aisle kind of thing. You'd be like, oh, God, what is this? Why do people talk about it like they do?
Exactly.
But back to tiramisu, if you use the right mascarpone, which is nice and silky smooth, and you use an amaretti biscuit, or you use homemade fingers, then yes.
Yeah.
Some of the shop-bought tiramisu is absolutely appalling. It's not tiramisu, it's just some rubbish just put together like a... Like a trifle, which
I need to say as well, if my mum is listening, that the blueberry trifle that she made at Christmas was out of this world. But it was full of amaretto and amaretti biscuits. So.
I love amaretti biscuits.
Well, that trifle then, I think, it was. And I love blueberries and it had this like really amazing custard. Oh, man.
Yeah, trifle is another one for me. That I think it's the texture of all the flavours in one.
Too much, baby.
Handy, darling. A trifle? Nah.
Too much. Why so
too
many
much.
Layers?
And then the
trifle is quite an English thing. Is it English? But I assume it is, of us just being like plonk, 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 plonk. There you go. And it's like, really?
It sounds like a French word that we've ruined, doesn't it?
Yeah.
A trifle. We call it trifle.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hey loves, just a quick and very funny interruption because it's time to showcase some of your best answers to my listener questions. This one is where I asked you what the most interesting thing you'd used in order to eat was. God, these are good, team. I'm so impressed with your shamelessness. And I say that as a woman who just this past summer, aged 40, used a leaf to eat quite a solid yogurt.
First, Marielle on Facebook made me scream when she admitted, "I've had to feed both my kids using the larger end of a house key as a spoon on more than one occasion." Just not what younger me would have ever envisaged that ending up being used for, right? A little bump of Ella's pouch. And thanks especially for clarifying that you didn't use the pointy end. Quite right, the pointy end would have been dangerous and disgusting, so... Similarly, Jessica Bateman on Instagram says, "Well, I often forget my spork." It's a good start, isn't it? Sentences go. Oh, I think it's proof that God exists. The invention of the spork. Some people look to nature to argue that there is a beauty that only a higher power could have created, and I look closer to home. I look to the spork as evidence of a deity. Anyway, sorry, back to Jessica's message. She says, "Well, I often forget my spork, and the good old business card has been my go-to scoop up the night before's dal. Totally messy." Oh, ho, ho. Business card as a spoon or spork for dal. I wonder, Jessica, did you find yourself maybe being quite sort of wide awake and chatty after that dal, or... Right, lucky us. Next, it's voice note time. These are my favourite. This is from Ileana.
"When I was on my gap year, we were travelling around Costa Rica, my two friends and I, and we were in the back of a rickety old cab in the middle of the jungle, and we had left the hostel we were at, but we hadn't been able to eat breakfast, but all we had was a box of cereal and a jug of shelf milk. So what we decided to do is cut the cereal box into different pieces and then keep the bottom whole so that we could then put the cereal back in the cardboard box, pour the milk, and drink it as fast as possible before the cardboard got too soggy. I do think my friend at the end just ended up using the bag and just poured milk into it and just drank it from that. This is in the back of a small, as they call them, colectivo, in the middle of the Costa Rican jungle, where we actually had to get out 2 kilometers before our location because the taxi couldn't go anywhere further. So just imagine us trying to drink this in the back of this cab, all stuffed in with our backpacks."
Joyful, joyful business. There's something especially lovely about the incongruity of a sort of genuine survivalist setting of the Costa Rican cloud forests and jungles and the sugary silliness of a kid's cereal, even without all that brilliant imagery of how they got it scoffed from the box. Bravo. And lastly for this bunch, just a bit of excellent practicality here from Kerry on Instagram, who says, "I have been known to use the arm of my glasses as a tea stirrer when I have inevitably forgotten to pick one up and the tea bag's been left in. Good work all round. Oh, you are a wonderful lot. Thank you. More questions coming all the time. Make sure you're following at the Hoovering Pod on all the socials. And thanks again for these amazing answers. Let's get back into this party episode."
Guys, I turned 40 recently.
And congratulations!
I know, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I went for like an amazing tasting menu at this place called Baby Hunt in near Durham. Incredible. But one of the courses, see if you think you would be happy with this. So all of this stuff, blah, blah, blah. Amazing, 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 amazing. And then, right, a little bit of pigeon. So I was a bit like, oh, I don't know if I fancy pigeon, but I'm going to just say yes to everything.
Yeah.
And then it came, right? It was like about a 50p piece of pigeon.
Okay.
Attached to,
oh God,
guys, the pigeon's leg with foot.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I just was so, we all basically just gasped when it came out and didn't know what to do. Yeah. And it came with this weird bit of lettuce and I used the lettuce to cover up. I probably have, yeah. I'll dig it out. It's honestly, it was so visceral. And so, because you know that when you look at a pigeon's foot on the ground in the street, that was on my plate. It was on my plate. And I don't want to be one of those guys that only eats meat when it's like cling filmed and detached. No. I want to, but it was. Do you also, think that's it feels a
like
bit
it, if they've got if the actual bit of meat did look like a 50p as well, it looks like it's some kind of like 90s art piece, doesn't
yeah,
it?
About
like
it really
the cost
did.
Of pigeons' lives.
Yes,
pigeons are sacrificing their feet to our like urban environments day in day yeah. out. Now eat that,
eat
enjoy that,
that. £500, yeah. enjoy it. No, it wasn't quite that, but yeah. you know what I mean. It was
shit.
It was amazing.
Yeah,
but I just thought you're everything else you've done tonight. I love you so much, but this moment, I'm like, this is someone showing off,
If you're a chef, please forgive these ladies. They're actually lovely. They don't understand your art.
So, but Anthony, do you think the foot's okay? No. Would you put a foot in your cake?
Well, if I was making a meat cake, yes, there'd be a pigeon foot in it. But you know what? I think there are a couple of chefs that have sort of upskilled their sort of artistry when it comes to game, especially. Mm. They use all of these, like, and it's sanitized legs.
Yes.
Don't worry, the pigeon didn't step on the shit and got into your face.
Oh, did anybody try the leg? Because there'll be a reason it was there. Right? Everything should be edible on the plate, right?
My one friend who's a bit of a goer, she like gnawed on it.
She's a bit of a girl.
She's quite famous.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, there's a bit of give, there's something on a chicken, sort of pigeon's foot. That really is you. It's a sort. It's a modern crisp. It's a modern desperate apocalypse crisp.
We need to stop. I appreciate the artistry of like Michelin style restaurants and chefs and being up
to date.
And obviously using all the pieces of the body to like, because in Barbados, one of our traditional dishes is souse, and they traditionally use all the bits of the pork. So the snout, the ears, the trotters, all of it in there. I'm not a big fan of that, but each to their own.
Yeah.
But it's traditional. Mm. So I appreciate that. But if you're going to make it really small and charge me how much money for a little piece of food, I can go to Morley's and get chicken and chips for $2.99. Thank you very much.
Go around the back of Morley's if you want. Just get the feet.
Three gourmand.
Morley's.
I don't have a massive chef listenership for this. I think they're fine.
Swiftly moving on.
Oh, God. Molly, before I forget, you are just back from Australia. It sounds like you're fizzing with opinions about how much better the food is out there. Please let rip.
So I ruined the trip for my friends, I think, because I was quite anxious about because everyone had said, like, it's the best food in the world.
Yeah, that's
and I
was a very lot of anxious. Pressure.
So every day I was like, I need to have an incredible food experience every day, which for the people I was travelling with, I think they struggled a bit because they were like, can we just go into the beach and see what happens? I was like, nope, we need to...
Oh my God, you're travelling with me the next
God,
day.
God, I love
Great,
you
finally.
So much.
But it's just so hard because I'm like, I don't want to just end up and have something mediocre. That's my life.
So I'm on holiday. Like, I don't want to go on holiday and have a meal that makes me sad or neutral.
Well, you want to try something that's like local, like on the beach local, like something made by some.
That's a good point. And to be fair, we did have some really nice, like, accidental wandering in. And so I did calm down after a while.
Yeah.
But one thing I found was like the best thing was just like, and everywhere's good. So, there's no version of like, you know, when you go to like a really bad English pub and you get like a scampi and chip, and it can be so bad, can't it? And like that,
the first red flag is when it says kids eat free.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Or just, when it says two meals for $9.99, you're like, what have you made?
You know, they're just going to be
3D printed those.
Yeah. They're going to be from a tiny bag in the kitchen. But there just isn't really that. So like you'll go somewhere that's, just that kind of pub, but it'll be like a massive fresh salad and all the, everything just feels fresh and incredible. And it was really, really good.
Supposedly some of the best fish and chips comes from Australia.
I believe it.
I can imagine from the ocean.
You know what? Even living in Paris and coming back here, I think the food here is drab.
Really?
Absolutely.
Even in London, and I hate saying
London food scene is great. Like, I think it's very diverse.
Like the fact that it took me like less than a minute's Googling to find somewhere to get this exciting brunch.
Yeah, that is amazing.
I was like, I do feel lucky to live somewhere with this much going on. But what's Paris like then? Different because in Paris, in my mind, and perhaps this is very naive, and it's been years since I've been there, not since my 20s, but lots of French food done brilliantly, as opposed to like here, where I feel like you can go. I can probably get Sri Lankan breakfast somewhere here if I want. Or, do you know what I mean? Is there a variety of options in Paris? Or is it just French food done beautifully?
So there's French food, right? Yeah. There's all the cassoulets, there's all the various pastries, and they're beautiful. Like the vinoiserie in that country is just massive.
Yeah.
It's amazing. But French food's also quite diverse.
Yeah.
You won't get a biryani on the plate, or you won't get like jollof rice on a plate, but they use all of these spices in their French food. Cuisine, like in a very subtle way, and the seafood there is just abundant.
Yeah,
like oysters even, just made with a beautiful mignon. There's, I think French food's great because of the produce.
Yeah.
Right? That's it. Full stop. Right. And the small little, oh my God, there's this beautiful place just around where I lived, and it was run by an African chef.
Mm.
And they'd make jus with these beautiful aniseed paste and things like that. Oh yummy. My word. It was just gorgeous.
I'm going to make more jus this year.
Yeah.
I've decided.
Can we just confirm what a jus is?
Yeah, I'd actually like South
definitely
Londoner.
A softer J on that, I reckon, Sabisa, if we're letting this edit go out in the edit.
A jus is not gravy.
No.
Stop.
Okay, it's talk us made through from it. Talk crystals. Us through it, please. Idiot's guide. What's a jus?
It's all of the. It's the drippings of the rotisserie chicken.
Oh,
with that's really just jus.
Yeah,
which is taken over the period of the chicken cooking. So that's why it's really fatty.
Oh.
But then you can also make jus, which is reduce down all your bones to this beautiful thick sauce, sort of like gravy, but not gravy.
Right.
Because you add a very good portion of butter into it.
Oh, even more nice. Fat.
Yes, even
amazing,
more fat
gorgeous.
It. So it's beautiful, runny, and just thick.
And a red wine? Is it always got red wine in it, or is that a specific red wine jus?
Red wine jus, I'm not too sure it's French, but jus generally is no alcohol.
Oh.
It's made from the juices of the meat and just salt, mostly
wow.
Just salt and not much flavouring.
Wow. Oh,
more salt, more
I made a red wine jus.
Jus. That one was good. You had it there. You had it. Yeah.
I'm getting turned on. I'm getting. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Is that the table's elevating?
I do burlesque. Everyone gets turned on. I made a red wine. The other day. And I was kind of like, okay.
Really?
Yeah, I was kind of like.
Did you put gravy crystals in it?
No.
Is it wrong?
Good job.
No, there had no gravy job. Anything in it. It was just like red wine jus, and it was like from the chicken. It's from the beef actually. So I made it for the beef. So we did that because we're not big beef eaters in the house, but I sometimes like to go out a little bit beyond and do something different.
Very nice.
But did you put the bone and the fat in it?
No, I didn't.
That's it. The bone and the fat is what makes the jus.
Yeah, we're all saying it now.
Everyone's
yeah.
struggling.
Jus.
Cut the cake.
Cut the cake.
Tell us about the cake.
It's an almond sponge soaked in rum, spiced rum, filled with dark chocolate ganache, raspberries, jam, and finished with a Swiss meringue buttercream. And Jess is cutting her face right in there.
Can I ask what spice rum you used?
The cheap one.
There we go.
Is that one
there? Well, that weightlifting paying off.
Yeah, it is a massive cake.
Oh my God, this is incredible.
Oh
my God, okay, right.
And what about the orange ruffly stuff on top?
This is rice paper, and I love using rice paper, and that's like my signature sort of decor thing.
I love
you
it.
You pick colour it, you... You
oh my
dried
God.
Up.
Oh my God, look at that. Chocolate and raspberries in there.
Cheesy,
yeah,
no,
crazy. Oh dear.
The rum that I've used is actually an Indian rum called Old Monk. It is the cheapest bottle of rum that you'd ever find.
How cheap are we talking?
It's like £2 a litre.
Whoa!
Wow.
It is the cheapest, but it's the...
But did you get it from...
You get it from India, you don't get it here.
So it's the same with Barbados rum, like Mount Gay... You can get so cheap in Barbados. Like I keep saying this on podcasts. I need to stop saying it. I've smuggled back so many bottles of rum.
Same.
Because it's so cheap, and it's obviously like the better versions that they import over here. So it's like the aged rums. It's like works up to like £10 for a big 1.5 litre, and you're like,
yeah. Mange is beautiful as well. Mange is a beautiful rum.
Best
and this one's very there's flavours of vanilla. Yeah, you should get the raspberry and the chocolate together. But yeah, solo.
Can't wait.
Oh my God.
So when are you moving in?
Oh, that chocolate.
I feel like you're going to change my mind about chocolate cakes.
You put it down with a lot more rum.
Do you think?
Yeah. Well done.
Is it all right?
Mm.
Fantastic.
Lovely. It's also very soft.
It's so like that sponge is
just light, so light.
Yeah, I haven't had a sponge that good.
Okay,
they're getting paid to see this, by the way.
My turn. Right, I want chocolate and raspberry in the same mouthful. That was the guidance.
And I love the fact that the icing is not so thick.
Yeah, me too.
The ganache, or is it ganache? No.
Swiss meringue buttercream. Swiss meringue buttercream. Made with meringue.
Oh, the fresh raspberry is amazing. And the cream is so light.
See, that's what I'm saying. I love it. So I hate when you have cakes and they've got icing all over it. And it's really thick.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
The fondant one, though. Oh, that's the worst. I hate fondant.
Because I actually like it, but I want a little bit because you can't eat like an inch of fondant.
You know when you get like cupcakes? And what people appeal to cupcakes.
Is the icing, but that's so much.
It's bonkers. Like if you actually ate it,
it's like bigger than the actual cupcake.
Oh yeah, it depends where you get it from, I guess. I was just going to taste this, but I've just sort of gone quiet for half an hour and smashed the whole bit in. And I gave myself a double slice.
It is your birthday, though.
Yeah. Well, my podcast birthday.
The podcast.
How old is Hoovering then?
Five.
Unbelievably. Shit the bed.
Wait.
Quick fire questions.
Sakisa, crisps or cake? Anthony, don't listen.
Cake.
Okay. Correct answer. I know your answer, Anthony. Molly, crisps or cake?
Crisps, sorry.
Me too. But apart from the one I've just had, the cake.
And we don't have to choose, so it's all
No, we don't have to choose, but that literally was the question to choose. Ever eaten food intended for a pet or indeed for another human?
Yes.
Yeah?
Dog food.
Whoa. Just tried it. Yeah, what, part of a dare or really hungry? No other option.
It was just fun.
Yeah. Was it nice?
It was really nice, actually. Cat food's quite nice. It's, if you like tuna, it's very fishy. It's quite nice.
Wow.
Okay. What's the worst thing you've ever found in food that wasn't meant to be there?
Oh, Christ.
Oh, God.
I mean, I'd say the pigeons.
It was 50p meant to be attached there.
I found a coin in the food once. I was eating soup, and there was a coin in the soup.
Like a little
5p coin.
Oh my God, we're going to end up coming back to that. You didn't swallow it and find it later. No. Okay. Ever eaten anything while it was still alive?
Oh yeah.
Oysters. Snails.
Bulot. Oh, stunning.
Yeah. Great. Is there a food you once hated that you love now?
Mushrooms.
Yeah, nice.
I suppose olives.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I've hated chocolate orange. I still hate chocolate orange.
Do you?
Absolutely.
What? Yeah. You hate your Terry's chocolate orange?
Yeah, I'm with him.
It's the worst. What the fuck is wrong with you?
What do you mean it's the worst? No, I can imagine that needs to
give cancer.
Right? And then
I hit the cancel version.
I'm like, why?
Okay, the white chocolate one, no. But the
chocolate one, you're taking the piss.
Because you need the flavours to complement each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Chocolate orange.
Have you tried the Yorkie one?
Yuck.
Yeah, no.
None of it.
Really?
Molly, I think we can take them.
Spat it back out.
No,
I'm glad this has happened later.
Yeah, thank fucking God we were able to maintain some rapport for the majority of the podcast. That this is disgusting revelation.
Sometimes even mint chocolate.
Mint chocolate? Yeah. There's only one brand which makes really good mint chocolate. That's After Eats.
Yeah, that's
everything
it.
Else,
no.
Everything else is minging.
Go suck a
Sorry
dick.
For this.
What about little matchmaker?
Lindor balls. Mint chocolate Lindor balls.
No, disgusting. They can go suck a dick.
There's a whole variety of different mint chocolate called Mingles. How can you love a mingle?
Nah.
You're not ready to mingle, even if you're single. Okay, guys, I want an answer from all of you for this one. About three words, max. American actor Scott Foley from Scandal and Scrubs puts peanut butter in his scrambled eggs, explaining it's a family thing, it's a protein thing. How does that make you feel?
Great, I think it works.
Okay.
Annoying, but intriguing.
Very confused. What is he doing?
I looked at that as somebody who find almost all proteins delicious, and I'll do weird things to add protein to a meal, especially if it's vegetarian. But I looked at that, I read it, and thought, wanker.
Yeah.
Wanker.
It's time for the big 10 question.
An awful plague starts called Swimmer's Knuckle, even though it's got nothing to do with swimmers or knuckles. It involves people's faces turning into pixelated, blurry messes. At first, it's a relief, especially from a body neutrality point of view. But we quite quickly realise we can't breathe, or worse, eat. It's a disaster. Luckily, Swimmer's Knuckle has agreed to do one and never had existed, but only if you three, and it does have to be you three, all count a million pennies each accurately, all whilst doing a new dance called the Sturdy. You can't eat any snacks because your hands are covered in whatever that deadly juice is on coins that makes your hand taste so fucking gross if you lick them after touching coins. It sounds impossible, but you do it. You're heroes. You go down in history as the three people who saved us all from Swimmer's Knuckle apocalypse. But your reward in the moment is the feast of your dreams. You couldn't be happier because you've gone down in history as a god, but you couldn't be hungrier because they're counting and dancing took so long. In your happiest and hungriest state, what would you eat? And this is only your answer right now.
Okay. I'm having some tacos.
Great.
With like massive, massive char-grilled prawns and everything just delicious and fresh, just lime everywhere, guacamole everywhere, avocado, sour cream, loads of fresh chilies. And I'm just having them made one at a time until I'm done, which I think won't be until quite a while. And I'm having margaritas to wash them down.
I've got strong positive feelings about everything you just said and not just in the mouth.
Yeah.
Fuck. Oh, that answer is good. Follow that.
Everyone's just...
She's having a lobster, jerk lobster.
Trance.
No, I was thinking about that, but I think I want to have some jerk pork.
Jerk pork.
Yes.
Pork belly.
No, actually, I'm going to go back to it. I'm going to have souse because I love souse so much.
What is it?
It's souse. It's pickled pork, but we basically boil the pork and then we have it with like chopped up cucumber and peppers and a little bit of chili and parsley and coriander, and it's meant to be served like slightly warm, but it's not meant to be hot, and you have it with breadfruit. Black pudding, which is not your black pudding, as I said, you're like
not the one you
brought. Like British black pudding. I mean, it's basically like grated sweet potato, which is like moulded and steamed, and it's my favourite thing in the world, and I can eat that all day, every day. So please, may I have some sauce?
Yeah, you can.
Please, may I?
Oh, mine's very similar. Well, back home, I think I'd be eating dal rice with freshly fried sardines. And with a nice mug of Kingfisher.
Yes.
Just Indian beer.
Oh, I love Kingfisher.
Just the best lager. That's what I'd be eating.
I'm having mine with a rum punch.
Yes. Oh, fucking hell. Shut up. Really good answers, guys.
Jess, you look like you just got off.
Yeah, fuck me. What fucking brilliant three answers. You three have sorted me out for real.
Just saw Jess's all on the face. That was weird.
So...
Grandiose.
Yeah, but what would you sound like if you said it now in a big boy voice?
Grandiose.
Happy birthday to you.
Woo-hoo.
Yay.
And many, many more.
Hoovering Podcast.
What a complete and utter blast. Thanks for listening. How do you feel about orange and or mint chocolate? What a hot topic. Who knew? And it had all been so friendly. Make sure you're following all of those beautiful, funny, brilliant guests, please. Follow them and their work. Anthony is shining brightly daily on Instagram at Anthony, A-N-T-O-N-Y, _Amordu, A-M-O-U-R-D-O-U-X. Sakisa is too, and hopefully has some London dates for her latest show out imminently. Keep your eyes peeled on her gram, where she is Sakisa Comedy. And, of course, the disarmingly funny, wise and excellent Molly Naylor, who is Molly.Naylor, N-A-Y-L-O-R.
AYLOR on the internet, and you'd be making a great decision to buy one of her most brilliant books of poetry called Whatever You've Got. Waterstones it now, or there is, as ever, a link in the podcast notes. Thanks especially to you, my patrons, for making this podcast possible. Without their kind monthly contributions from as little as £2 a month, this podcast would not exist. This episode was really for them. Thank you if you're one of them, and join us if you're not. More listener questions coming all the time as well. Not long now until my 2024 tour show Metal goes on sale too. For more on all of those things,
follow us on social media at The Hoovering Pod. I'm on at Jessica Fostercue. Send us voice notes, pictures, WhatsApps to 07462 855 271. Email us, thehooveringpod@gmail.com. I'll be storing all your beautiful offerings up and discussing them in future episodes. Keep an eye on our social media for any specific questions and topics that we'll be asking you to contact us about. Links to everything interesting mentioned today are, as ever, in the podcast notes. Hoovering is presented and created by me, Jessica Fostercue. The music is by Jake Yap, and it was produced by Laura Grimshaw. Until in 2 weeks, happy hoovering.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.